Picking it with Kay and Clay. 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 Hey everybody, thank you again for watching and tuning in, either if you're listening on our streaming only platform or if you're watching us on Instagram TV, Facebook, or YouTube, then welcome. Thank you so much. This has been a great series. We have one more to go after this one, but I hope you all have been getting some great information and implementing it, and you know, just learning how to take better care of yourself, because we only have one body, y'all. We only have one body, and we need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of our bodies. We need to take care of our mental, our thinking. We need to take care of our emotions, and we need just to be taking care of our spiritual states, because you know, this life would be easier lived, you know, when we are in a routine of such a good routine, you know, because you want to develop healthy habits. And I'm just thanking God for all the experts we've had on thus far, just telling us about just self-care and just how to really take care of ourselves. And today is no different. And because of self-care, you know, one of the ways that I like to practice self-care, I've just gotten off of work. Okay. So I worked a good 8 hours, and you know, I'm kind of, you know, tired sometimes, you know, when you come home and you want to unwind. And so like later on tonight, I get to rest just a little bit. And then I have a exercise class, like later on at 7:45 PM. And I had one earlier today at 5:30 AM. Yes, I get it in multiple times a day, in a couple of times a week, because I want to take care of my emotional state and my physical state. And that's part of it. And again, one of the ways I like to self-care when I get home is I love incense. So if you see smoke coming, nothing's on fire. I have my incense burning, and I know, I just love the smell. It's just so calming and so soothing. And I have my my candles going as well. Okay. So, sorry, I have to get my charger because I don't want to be, you know, having a show and then it's be like, it just go off. Technical difficulties happen. This is, it's not live, but it's recorded, but it's still all good, right? Okay. Again, thank you so much, everybody. And today we are going to be talking about self-care practices for our emotions, which is very, very important, because emotions can get us into a lot of trouble sometimes, okay? A lot of times we make decisions when we're emotional, and that's not the best thing to do. And sometimes, you know, we're just drained because of the things that we do out of emotion. And we have a guest today. This is going to be our second PhD doctor on this show. So I bring nothing but the best for you guys, you know. So I just love it. And I particularly believe that people who pursue, you know, their PhDs, they deserve to be called doctor. So we're going to refer to her as doctor on this show because she earned that. Okay. I see her chuckling. Okay. So without further ado, let me introduce today's guest. Our guest today is Dr. Olivia Owa. Okay. Forgive me, Olivia. Owamahoro Williams. She has been in the mental health profession for over a decade. She earned her bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Tennessee and her master's in clinical mental health counseling from the University of Memphis and her PhD in counselor education and supervision from the University of Central Florida. She is a national certified counselor through the National Board of Certified Counselors, a licensed professional counselor, in Georgia and a certified professional counselor supervisor in Georgia. She is currently an assistant professor of counselor education at the University of West Georgia. She is doing the doggone thing, right? Black girl magic all the way around, okay? So without further ado, we are going to welcome to the show Dr. Olivia. Hi, Doc. How are you?
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. And I was just jamming to your intro music earlier. I really was appreciating that.
Aw, thank you so much. As I was stumbling in the intro, I'm like, what is wrong? But again, you know, stuff happens. Hey, I'm real. What you see is what you get with me. You know, I'm so real, and I try not to make everything seem so perfect. You know, that's one reason why I don't edit on the show.
Okay.
Purposefully, because I want it to be, you know, this authentic. Everything in life is not perfect, you know. And a lot of us, you know, expect that when it's not the real truth. So, y'all, again, I apologize for all of that. But again, you know, I'm just keeping it real, I guess.
Okay. Well, I would have to say my professional self, right? My mental health professional mm-hmm. self really appreciates the fact that you are creating a place that's authentic, especially in the age of social media and technology where everything is edited, it's cropped, yeah. You know, like the perfect packaging. But then I also hit my Virgo stuff was like, oh my gosh. No. It's has some internal turmoil going on right now, but I can appreciate that.
Oh, good. Okay, everybody. So I am going, so those who are watching, you know that my guests, I put their contact information at the bottom of the screen. So you have it there. Those who are listening, Dr. Olivia, you can contact her. Just go to her Linktree. So it's Linktree. That's linktr.ee/doctor.ow. Okay. All right. Let's get into this. So, you know, I've been almost sounding like a broken record with this series because, like, I broke it down into different areas. The physical, that we start off with the physical self-care practices. Mm-hmm. And then we had last week, the mental and social aspect of it. And today is the emotional. And I know it all like intertwines together, you know, eventually. But we want to focus on the emotional self-care practices. So we're going to dive into that today. And what I would like to ask all my guests that come on is, what got you interested in your profession? What made you want to get into counseling?
Oh, that's a good question. So believe it or not, when I was growing up, I actually wanted to be a dentist. Okay. I wanted to be a dentist because I thought like, oh, this is so cool. I can help people, you know, be able to, you know, because I think there's something about smiling, right? When you're able to just, you know, smile is kind of a universal language. So I was like, this is cool. Fortunately, one of my childhood dentists let me shadow them for like a day and a half. And I don't know if he did it intentionally, but the time I was shadowing him, like he was legit working on nothing but cavities. And it was the moment that I was like, wait a minute. I was like, hold up. I'm not built for this. Uh-huh. This is not what I'm built for. So that dream was shortly lived.
Okay.
So then I transitioned. So when I went to college, my undergrad, I was taking, you know, just basic education. Yeah. And one of the courses that I took was an intro to psychology. And I think this is like the path that almost everybody who ends up in mental health happens. It's like in the class. Just learning about just the foundation of psychology and what how the mind works and the connection between your mental and your emotional, it just became very intriguing to me. So from then, I believe it was like my second semester, the end of my first semester, going to my second semester, I declared my psychology major. So I dove into the content from there, I ended up becoming a research assistant in one of the psychology labs at the University of Tennessee. So then I really got involved heavy into, not only was I learning the content in the classroom, but I started participating in the research, and I really got invested into just the world of mental health. And then from there, I realized that I was really heavily interested in counseling, because there's four different schools when you're talking about mental health. You have psychiatry, you have psychology, you have counseling, and then you have social work. Mm-hmm. And so psychiatry and psychology, they're based heavy in pathology. So like assessment, mm-hmm. diagnosis from the medical model. Social work is more on a macro level where they're really interested in the system, you know, kind of like the bigger picture, the things that impact us as individuals. Okay. And then counseling, which is where I really spoke to what I wanted to do, was about working with that individual person within whatever system that we're in. And it is strength focused. It comes from a wellness model. So it really spoke to who I am as a person. And so that's how I ended up pursuing my master's degree in counseling. And then everything just kind of built on that. While I was a student, I was also working, and I realized that I wanted to have a broader impact than just the clients that I was going to be working with. So I wanted to contribute to the training. I wanted to do supervision. And so that led me into pursuing my PhD, because I wanted to have flexibility in my work. And so now I'm a clinician, I'm a supervisor, I'm a counselor educator, I do research. So I'm really able to tap on every level of within my field, respectively. So if I get tired of teaching, I can just practice and stay there. Or, you know, right now I'm doing a little bit of each, which keeps me happy, feeds my passion. And so that's how I've landed where I am now.
Oh, that's good. Like you said, it's because I work at a place. I'm not going to say where, but I work with the children, and, you know, they come in and they see their therapist, and we have a psychiatrist too. And like each of the therapists, they do, some are like LPNs, some are LMSWs. And so like you said, it's very broad. You can do, many things within that, and that's what's up. I like that. Yeah. Okay, so the audience heard my little take on you know, just a little bit on why your emotional self-care is important. Mm-hmm. So can you let us know why it's really important, you know, from a clinical standpoint?
Of course. So everything that you stated is really like right on the nose when it comes to self-care in general. And so the thing that I'm really appreciating right now is that we are, you know, as a community, as a society, really having a lot more conversation about mental health. You know, self-care is a term that you hear almost every day, where 10 years ago, people did not know
what it was.
So when you talk about self-care in general, it's just any activity, any healthy, let's emphasize that, any healthy activity that you do deliberately to take care of yourself, right? Because again, there's certain activities that you can do that you enjoy to take care of yourself that are not healthy. So we want to make sure that they're healthy. So when we're talking about self-care as it relates to your emotional, that emotional self-care, we're talking about focusing in on those feelings and processing and nurturing our emotions. And so a lot of us, when we talk about self-care, we do, which is still important, right? We're not like the physical, or let's work out, let's eat healthy. You mentioned like your ancestors, like, right, kind of set in the mood. It makes you feel good, right? Doing the things that make you happy. Again, healthy things that make you happy. But I want to continue to emphasize healthy, right? It needs to be, we need to make sure that it's healthy. So when we're talking about that emotional self-care, it's learning to get in touch with your emotions. So we're talking about identifying how we're feeling, processing our feelings, right? And then expressing our feelings. So we want to be in tune with how we're feeling every single day. What we tend to do, and if you're struggling in this area, you're not alone. Because one thing that I consistently tell my clients and my students, we're not taught about feelings, right? Yeah. We're taught about like the names, but we're really not taught about how to process. Mm. So if those of us who grew up, you know, 80s babies and older, yeah, right? what Mr. Rogers was trying to do, his whole approach to children television, talking about it's okay to feel how you feel. Mm-hmm. That's what emotional self-care is about. And a lot of us, unfortunately, are not taught that. We're not taught how to effectively express ourselves. We're not taught to really like be able to identify not only how you feel, but process that feeling. So what we tend to do is express certain emotions that are accepted in society. So if you see somebody who's angry, but like, oh, they're angry, something must have happened. But when you see somebody who's sad and crying, we kind of pull back, be like, wait a minute, hold on, what's going on? Because sadness and crying tends to be associated with kind of like weakness, like you don't show this type of emotion. Mm-hmm. But you know, if somebody's angry and they're starting to throw things, be like, oh man, somebody pissed them off.
Yeah.
You know, so there's certain emotions that are socially acceptable for us to express versus others. But even in that, you gotta really allow yourself to sit and feel those things, not suppress it, not dismiss it. Just sit with it, sit and feel those feelings, and then trying to figure out what is driving those emotions. So if you find yourself feeling overwhelmed, right, it's not enough to just be like, I'm feeling overwhelmed. We need to identify what's causing me to feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Because only through that processing can we then develop a plan. Because when you're going to express that emotion, right, then you're saying things like, I'm feeling overwhelmed because of X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
So that when the person you're expressing those emotions to, they're able to understand what is going on. Instead of just like yelling or shutting off or just venting. And we leave it, we got to go into those lower levels of one, feel your feelings, two, identify those feelings, process them, and then express them. Because then you're able to really live your fullest when you're able to do all those things versus just kind of cutting your experience short because you're not feeling comfortable or you just don't know how to do that work.
That's good. You mentioned that a person might be feeling, I think a lot of us have felt overwhelmed at least once. And I know people, they're probably feeling it all the time. One, how can you prevent feeling overwhelmed? How can you prevent that? And then if you're in it, what are some practices you can do to help you get out of that?
Okay. So the first thing you want to do is you don't ever want to stop yourself from feeling a certain way, right? Like you want to feel those feelings because only through that genuine expressing and feeling of whatever emotion it is, then you can process and work through. We have to get away from labeling emotions as good or bad. Mm. We're supposed to experience all these different emotions, like the spectrum. We're supposed to. If we weren't, we wouldn't have these emotions. Sure. It is okay to feel sad. It is okay to feel frustrated. It is okay to feel overwhelmed. Like feeling those feelings is okay. Now, once you know how you feel, we need to figure out what's causing that emotion, right? So are you feeling overwhelmed because of, let's say, work? Is there something that's going on at work that's causing this feeling? Is it just that you're kind of stretched thin between work and home responsibility and finances and things like that? Like, because again, that feeling is letting you know that there's something not quite right now. So we don't want to dismiss that. We want to acknowledge it. Okay. Then through that acknowledgement, can we figure out, pinpoint, where are these feelings coming from? What is driving that emotion? Then we can address the situation that's causing the emotion.
Okay.
Because different situations will cause that same emotion to happen. It's not, so that's what I'm saying. Like, controlling the emotion is not the problem. It's figuring out what situations are leading up to these emotions.
Got you. And that's why you were saying, like, we shouldn't suppress our emotions.
Yes, we need to feel. I think I need to get a shirt that says, feel your feelings, feel your feels. Mm-hmm. It is okay to feel them. The part that we get stuck on usually is what we do with those feelings, right? The behavior that follows. Feeling angry is not the problem. You punching somebody because you're feeling angry is the problem. Right?
Right. So like, like you said, it might make you feel better, but it's not healthy. That's not healthy.
It's not really solving the problem. Right. And that's part of what we have to do with that emotional piece, like separate the feeling from the behavior. Mm. Because that's really where it is. Like, the part that we struggle when we feel is not really the feeling, it's the behaviors that are usually associated with the feelings. When we're feeling sad, what happens? We tend to kind of turn inward. We tend to isolate ourselves. You know, we don't want to deal with too many things. When we're angry, we're, you know, somebody might get loud. Somebody might become physically aggressive. So again, it's not the emotion, it's the behavior that's kind of following that emotion. And so we got to learn to separate the two. Mm-hmm. And then focus again. Oh, knowing and allowing people to feel, because if somebody pisses you off, mm-hmm. they make you angry, guess what? You have the right to do. You have the right to be angry.
Yeah.
You have the right to feel that feeling. You have the right to feel overwhelmed if you're constantly having so many things put on your shoulders. What we got to work on, though, is now, once you know what's leading to you feeling those feelings, then being proactive in addressing it. So if it's, you talked about feeling overwhelmed, like what's right now, we're all dealing with COVID. The last year we've been dealing with COVID, right? If you're realizing that the stress is coming from managing everything that's going on, then you kind of take a sit back and be like, okay, what do I have control over? Because some of what's going on right now is that we don't have as much control over what's going on as we typically would. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that you can do right now is identify the things that you have control over, right? So I might not have control over the ability to live life the way I wanted, you know, like we were living back in 2019.
Yeah.
Right. But there are still things that I can do to still enjoy within the limits and making sure that I'm staying safe and those around me are still feeling safe. You mentioned that, you know, you exercise mm-hmm. twice a day, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you don't feel comfortable going to the gym, but guess what? You can do something at home. Mm-hmm. You know, the weather's starting to get better outside, so you can start doing some things out in the community, you know, walking and things like that, where, again, might not be able to do things exactly how you were able to do
right.
before, but you can still do some things. I know a lot of people are feeling isolated these days. Obviously, we got technology is in our favor, so maybe you can do brunch with your girlfriends or with your guys. Guess what, though? You can get creative and do a Zoom brunch. You know, everybody fix something, get your, you know, your drink, have your music.
Right. You know what? I'm doing that with one of my friends because, you know, we're open here. Like, our restaurant's at 50% capacity now. So mm-hmm. I have been out. But one of my friends who lives out of state, you know, we're doing a Zoom brunch because we usually get together every mm-hmm. December. But of course, you know. So, and she was like, she is so zoomed out, but you know, she's making an exception for me, you know, because people are, you know, working from home and they're doing all these meetings. And I know that can be so overwhelming and draining.
Most definitely. So, and that's part of the the processing part, mm-hmm. right? Trying to figure out where is the stress coming from. If Zoom is like your friend is like, I'm Zoomed out. I just on the weekend, if you say Zoom, I'm going to freak out. Well, then set that boundary for yourself and know that that is not something that you would want to do. So maybe then you can do something where you go out where some, like, you know, maybe you go to a park where you're socially distanced and be able to still hang out and socialize mm-hmm. with your friends or something. But that only comes from you being able to identify the things that are driving that feeling, you know, overwhelmed or anxious or whatever it is. And then setting that boundary for yourself, because if for you, like getting on that Zoom brunch will cause more anxiety or make you feel even more overwhelmed, then don't do it. You know, don't, and then find something that will, you know, still accommodate you and meet your needs within, within reason and making mm-hmm. sure that you stay safe during these times. So
what I'm hearing you say is what's important is to identify what's making you feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. If that's not the way you want to feel.
Exactly.
Identify it and process it and work and do something about it. So what can be done? Like so I know like suppressing it, what type of, like we suppress our feelings, right? Mm-hmm. How would that manifest in our body? How would that manifest in our emotional state?
In so many different ways. I mean, mm-hmm. to the point of like physical mm-hmm. symptomology, right? So if you keep emotions buried deep down, one, you're going to be more sensitive to those emotions, meaning it's going to take less things to get you to kind of like your breaking point, right? So if you think about like a Coke bottle being shook, right? Mm-hmm. Where usually it might take you like a couple of mm-hmm. shakes before you get bubbling. But if you keep festering and you're not processing, you're keeping all those emotions bottled, it might just take a little tap and then your top pops off. Mm-hmm. Because basically what happens is like you are in a constant state of shaking.
Wow.
You know, you got a Coke bottle, you just keep shaking and shaking and shaking, and it keeps building and building and building, where it's going to be that one little thing. Right, that person in the grocery store that cuts in front of you, your child, you know, spills something on the counter, and you just blow up, and you experience this such a strong emotional outlet in the moment, which really does not meet the situation, but because things have been flustered, you just putting it in, not talking about it, not processing, and you just keep holding onto it. And in the worst possible time, it's going to come out. Mm. So that's where it can come out on the emotional side, which can then hurt relationships, right? Because imagine, you know, it's you and your spouse, and you just come home and let's say, I don't know, you started preparing dinner later than you anticipated. Yeah. And they come in, and because they've had all these things happening over the last 2 weeks, they're hungry. They were looking forward to that steak dinner you're supposed to prepare. They come in and you still, and nothing cooked. And next thing you know, they're like flipping tables. Like, how dare you? You don't care. And you're like, wait, hold on a second. Mm. Dinner would be ready in 15. It's okay. But for them in that moment, right. It's literally that thing that just
took them over the top.
Exactly. Mm. Now think about how that infects that, you know, your relationship with your spouse. Now you're feeling attacked, you're feeling unappreciated, you're like, I don't know what's going on. So if this happens, becomes a cycle where it happens over and over again, that can end up damaging that relationship. When we're talking about the physical, people get headaches, right? You can start getting headaches. Your health can literally start deteriorating. You can start having heart issues. It can exacerbate current health situations that you have because like you're holding, like you're physically tense. Like when I see some people who are like really bad at processing their emotions, like I can tell like it's almost like they're walking around just tense. Like you see like frown lines, you can see it in their body. And so those are just a couple of ways that holding on to these emotions will end up impacting you, like on that physical level, that emotional level, but also that relational, because you're taking out your frustration or your intense feelings on the wrong people.
Yeah.
Because remember what I said was about identifying your emotions, processing your emotions, and then communicate. You got to express your emotions, but you got to express them to the people who are contributing to that emotion. So if I got stuff going on at work, guess what I need to do? I need to be sitting down with, you know, my supervisor, my colleagues, and processing whatever it is that's leading to me feeling whatever those feelings are. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be coming home and kicking my kid and yelling at my husband and, you know, throwing the dog out, like, because they have nothing to do with that, right? All of that.
Oh, like, what I do?
Like, no, my girl, I'm over here yelling at my kids, snapping at my child, but they have absolutely nothing to do with that situation at work. That's where I need to take it and express how I'm feeling, express my thoughts, and hopefully work through that situation. So that way, again, I'm being intentional in dealing with whatever it is that's bothering me. Again, you can process your emotions with anybody, right? So maybe you need to go to your safe people, your therapist, your spouse, your friends, to kind of do that initial processing first. You might be like, oh, I got work sucked today. I need to get this off my chest. And that's fine. We got to get that initial unloading.
See, I'm kind of like, when it comes to like work stuff, what I do, I don't like to take it home. I try to.
It's a good rule.
I try to leave it there. Like, yeah. once I'm off the property, you know, I tend not to to think about it. You know, I don't want to discuss it. You know, unless it's something like really, really crazy. You know, I talk about it, but if it's like there's some annoying stuff, you know, that's going on. You know, people just annoying you. They, you know, your nerve because they acting like a butt or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I tend to leave that at, I tend to leave it there. You know, is that good to do? Or
I mean, if that works for you, as long as you're not dismissing your feelings, right? Because you could be like, okay, you know what, that colleague irritated me, hated it, whatever, you know, that's, they're stuck in their ways. There's nothing that I can do to change their annoying personality. And you're really kind of like have acknowledged all of that. That's fine. Uh-huh. What you don't want to do again is anytime when you're dismissing or belittling or not acknowledging how you feel, that's where things can go in the wrong direction. Uh-huh. But again, I commend those who are able to kind of separate things and function in those.
I try. I really try my best.
Yeah. Practice, right? If you can do that where you're like, okay, you know, work is work, you know, I'm going to handle work and I'm going to make sure it stays there. But the reality is because we're human and we're not robots, we're not going to always be able to draw that clear line every time. There could be a situation that happens that really leads to you needing to process it, right?
I mean, yes, and it has been where I talked about, you know, different stuff, but yeah.
Exactly. So we're both Black women, right? So what if you're at work experiencing discrimination and you're feeling like there's some things happening
that's
really impacting you on that level where you're like, okay, I need to process this with people who I know are in my corner. If you have a therapist, like, ooh, there's this thing that happened. I need to figure out how to navigate it. So again, doing that and through that processing, sometimes you're able to go back and deal with the situation. Sometimes you realize, like, you know what? It is what it is. It's outside of my control. I'm not even going to give it that much energy anymore. And that's fine. But we got to get to that point.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. If action is needed, right? So if it's a matter of maybe responsibilities being, maybe you were put on a project and you feel like, okay, I'm being, you know, given way more work than I should. And there's no way for me to balance this thing. It's really about like work specific things. Like, again, the best thing I can think of is like, if you have a colleague leave and all of a sudden you got to reallocate work responsibility and you're like, wait a minute, I'm taking on like 50% of what they were doing plus what I'm already doing. This is a bit much where you're
I think that applies to a lot of people.
Exactly. So initially you might be feeling pissed. You might be feeling overwhelmed, but you don't want to go in, you know, to your supervisor's office on 10, right? You don't want to come in and be yelling and cussing and doing all that. So you might need to, you're going to need to process that, get, if you need to vent with your girlfriend, with your guys, and kind of get that initial angst out. But then you want to eventually go to your direct, you know, supervisor, whomever you report to, and process that and talk through it. Like, hey, you know, this is what it is. And I feel like, you know, X, Y, and Z can be done to help support, you know, me in this area and so forth and so on. And there you've had the opportunity to identify whatever emotion you were feeling, process it, but then you went back and then also expressed your feelings about the situation to somebody who can actually help adjust it. So So hopefully your workload will be adjusted, which will lead to minimizing that feeling of overwhelm, feeling frustrated, feeling angry in regards to your current work situation.
Oh, you are throwing out some good stuff. I'm like, yes. And I know people listen. I know everybody can relate to this. I mean, really.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the part of self-care that we've embraced the nice kind of fluffy side of self-care.
Yes, yes.
Like, you know, bubble bath.
Right, and massages.
Yeah, and deep breathing and manis and pedis for the women and things like that. But also sometimes self-care consists of doing those things you might not be comfortable doing, right? So setting boundaries is part of self-care, that emotional self-care. It seems like you're physically active. Like, so if I need to move, you know, maybe I haven't been that active and my health is starting to take a toll, be like, okay, I need to start moving more. I got to make it a priority to start exercising, start eating right. So these are things that are not the most exciting things, especially if you're used to them, but you need to do them. Rest is something that a lot of us struggle with, right? And rest kind of helps level so many things, but because of phones and, you know, technology and everything, you can stream on everything. You can watch everything now. Like
we can.
TV, your computer, your tablet, your phone. So it's really hard for us to shut down, but sometimes that's what we need, right? So it's very easy to stay up and binge watch things or whatever.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Because you watch like one episode and the next thing you know, you're like five episodes.
Yes.
Like,
what's happening? I've done it. I've done it plenty of times.
And so we got to be really conscientious about that. So where it might be pleasurable, right, to sit and indulge in that your favorite show, if you're only getting like 3 or 4 hours of sleep, that's not healthy, because that's going to tap into your physical, that's going to tap into your emotional, that's going to take time from even like if you are trying to prioritize like your spiritual practices, where now you're literally kind of cutting out a lot of time where you could be doing a lot of these things. And a lot of these streaming networks, you know, platforms make it very easy in the whole thing, because like they will automatically go to the next episode. So if you don't check yourself, be like, I'm only going to watch two things tonight and then I got to cut off my TV.
That's those boundaries you talked about, right?
Boundaries. Again, some of the self-care that some of us need to do are things that right now are not the most enjoyable things because you're not in that habit of doing it. So getting your sleep, eating healthier, moving, right? Prioritizing that quiet time to process your day and your feelings. Having difficult conversations, right? So if you're processing your emotions and you're trying to work through things, it might result to you having to have a difficult conversation with people in your life. And sometimes we don't want to do that, but that's what we need to do in order to set those boundaries, have better communication and work through stuff. So that's the other side of self-care that we don't spend a lot of time talking about, but we need to, like, it's a full spectrum. The bubble baths and the leisure activities, those are great, but we can't wait the other stuff that can be difficult to do in the beginning as well.
That's true. And that's why I broke this series down. You know, I started with the physical stuff you can do. And then, like you said, you know, it's not all, you know, glitz and glam, you know, self-care. And that's what I really want to bring to the forefront. And, you know, like we're dealing with the mental, your thinking, your emotions. And like you said, it's needed. It may not be the pretty part of it, but it's the part that's going to keep you.
Exactly. And in the beginning, it's more challenging, right? So, and I'm pretty sure you can attest, I always compare the emotional work to physical. That first time you go to the gym and you haven't been to the gym in 5 years, you're going to feel it. Like your fingers are going to be sore, right? You're like, why is my ear sore right now? Like, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
So it kind of feels the same way when you're being intentional and paying attention to your emotions, because it can be exhausting. Like when I have clients, sometimes one of my clients recently told me, like, you know what, Dr. Williams, I've noticed, like, after our session, I am done. Like, I got to take a nap because, like, we're spending time doing some heavy processing. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing, you know, when you think about the physical activity and that emotional activity in the beginning, you're having to put more work into it because you're having to be more intentional and more conscientious. But the more you do it, it becomes part of your routine. It becomes part of how you function. And so it's not as exhausting. So, you know, the difference between training for a marathon, like the first time you run 3 miles, you might want to just quit. But once you've been doing it for a couple of months, you're like, my goodness, I'm running this like 10K, like, nothing, you know? And so it takes time, and the more you do it, the more consistent you are, the easier it becomes, because again, it becomes part of just how you process things, how you just move through life. It's just like, okay, when things happen, I'm gonna let myself feel, I'm gonna process those feelings, I'm going to deal with the situation that's eliciting these emotions. That's just how you function. So yeah, it becomes easier with time.
It does. It's like the analogy you use, it's like going to the gym and working out. You know, you have to train your body to do that. And and I see it's the same with your emotional and with your feelings and with your mental. You have to train those areas as well. That's good. Mm-hmm. I like that. Oh, this was good. Oh my God, this was so good, so much information. I'm gonna have to have you back from time to time, because you know your stuff.
I'll be more than happy to come back. I get excited because this is, I'm passionate about this.
Yes.
Yeah, and I also want to, especially us within the Black community, like we experience so much and so many, and there's a whole nother topic, but because we have so many things that's going on, it's like we need this even more, because it's like, life already is just crazy for us from time to time, that the more we can do this and be more intentional and taking care of our holistic self, the better we're going to be able to do when we having to go out here and deal with just life, you know? Yeah. And so I get excited whenever I'm put into a conversation and I'm talking to my people, like, you know, I know it's difficult, but there's also tools out here that can make managing a lot of these things a little bit more efficient. So
wonderful. Before we wrap up, what are some of those tools?
So with the emotional component, just starting out with even just journaling, right? And by journaling, I'm not talking about like paraphrase, like just writing down like 3 or 4. It's just like write down, right? Over the course of your day, we all have phones, open up a note and just track your emotions throughout the day. Be mindful when you have those like peaks, right? And don't just document the quote unquote negative emotions. Mm-hmm. Just document those peaks and valleys. Like when you feel yourself kind of really high or really low, document it and keep track of how you're feeling. And then get in the habit of talking about your feelings. Mm-hmm. Google, you know, emotional vocabulary. challenge yourself to grow your emotional vocabulary, because believe it or not, there are more feelings than just happy, sad, frustrated, anxious. There's so many more. There's intensity levels, right? So even with happiness, right? It's like enthusiasm, like how enthusiastic are you? How, you know, like you could be just happy. So it's like there's a spectrum to every core, to like every main emotion you can think of. Mm-hmm. So if you know your vocabulary, you can better express yourself. So that's a place we can start, you know, Googling, you know, emotional vocabulary, so you can grow your emotional vocabulary and be able to just have more ways to express how you're feeling. And then two, being intentional in tracking your feelings throughout the day. You know, notice the things that bring you joy. Notice the things that cause you to feel frustrated. Notice the things that bring sadness. And just allow yourself to feel, but also don't suffer. Like I tell my clients, like, think about, this might be a little cheesy, but think about your emotions like a little butterfly, right? So when it comes, it could land on your nose. Just let it be. If it's going to sit there for 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, three, just let it be there. But then once that butterfly is starting to fly, let it go. Don't try to hold on to it. Just let it go. So when that emotion hits you, feel it, address it, acknowledge it, but then but the last thing you want to do is kind of suffocate it and kind of keep it there. Like, no.
Okay.
Let it pass, but acknowledge it. Acknowledge your feelings. Try your best to not dismiss it. Grow your emotional vocabulary so you can better express yourself, and just get in the habit of talking about your feelings. Right? When somebody's like, hey, how are you feeling? Okay, it's not a feeling. It's not a feeling.
That's true.
Somebody's telling, like, hey, how are you feeling today? Moving forward, after listening to this episode, do not say, okay. I need you to identify an actual emotional vocabulary to articulate how you're feeling or how you've been. And the thing is, you could be feeling multiple ways. I could be like, you know, I was excited, a little frustrated, a little bit overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, you're not just confined to one state of being, because you can
experience
multiple emotions at the same time. So those are a couple of things that I would say you can start doing now to be intentional in addressing that emotion, your emotional side.
I like that. Oh my gosh. And there's some good nuggets, y'all. You might need to go back and listen to this episode again and just jot down the points that Dr. Williams made, because it was some good points and some good practices and habits to do. And speaking of journaling, because that was brought up in the last two episodes. Next week, because I already taped the episode, next week we're going to be talking about the spiritual side. And my guest, she is going to be, we're going to have a giveaway. And one of the things thing that she's giving away is a journal.
Look at that. Aligns perfect.
Yes. So one of our lucky listeners will have a chance to win that journal. And it's going to be in the next episode how they can win that journal. But that's the giveaway. Like, journaling is so cathartic and is very helpful. So yeah, everything just clicking, just going right, you know, fitting right together.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. This, again, this has been really, really, really good. Some good stuff. And you guys, again, if you want to get in contact with Dr. Williams, you can just go to her Linktree website, linktr.ee/dr.ow. Okay. Thank you so much. Don't get off the line just yet, because I have to I have something for you afterwards, Dr. Williams. But everybody else, thank you so much for listening, for being engaged, and thank you for just always supporting us and everything. And please, please, please share this video, share this episode. I don't care about like downloads and all that kind of stuff. I care about the information that's being brought out because it's good and it's going to help people, especially our people. Okay. So you guys, you know, to like, comment, share, and subscribe to the podcast, you know, Kicking It With Kay and Clay, you know, and tune in next week as well when we close out the series. And again, we're going to have a giveaway, and you're going to want to listen to that so you can get that nice journal. Okay. And thank you so much, Dr. Williams. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Yes.
All right. And to everybody else, I will see you on social media, and see you next week. Bye. Kicking It With Kay and Clay. Kicking It With Kay and Clay.